Healthy reefs need help from healthy fish and other marine life. That's why the state's Aquatic Resources Division is reaching out to fisher people and ocean users, casting a wide net to get information about herbivores, those marine creatures that we interact with when we get out into the sea. Stacia Marco is with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. She shares with us what you need to know about a series of scoping meetings that just launched and runs through December 10th.
We're looking into options for statewide management and statewide regulations for herbivores, including sea urchins, chubs or nenui, surgeon fishes, and uhu or parrotfish. And so we're looking for public input on what type of management actions the public may support in our efforts. And our goal for herbivore management is to enhance reef resilience.
Okay, so you just want to know, you know, how do people interact with these species?
We're interested in knowing how people think that these species are doing. We'd like to let people know about the importance of these species in particular to keeping our reefs healthy, especially in the face of global climate change, warming oceans. It's really important to keep our reefs as healthy as possible, and these groups of herbivores are particularly essential in making that happen. And so what we're looking for is feedback is that we do plan on putting in place some statewide management regulations. And so one of the keys to any regulation is compliance and support. And so what we're looking for is public feedback to enhance compliance and support to these rules. This past year was a bit of a reprieve from years past overall, but it's projected that bleaching events and warming ocean events will occur more frequently and be more intense over time. And so though those are large global scale issues, the best way to protect our reefs is to keep them as healthy as possible in the interim. So healthy herbivores mean healthy reefs, and actually it means better fishing for everyone because there'll be more herbivores on the reef.
Now, for urchins, I know here on Oahu, we have heard about how urchins have been dispatched in Kaneohe Bay to help with the invasive seaweed.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So in Kaneohe Bay, urchins have been tremendously helpful in combating invasive seaweed. And urchins can clear down algae and make sure there's plenty of space on the reef for new corals to recruit, and also for crustless coralline algae, which is basically a foundational part of coral. It gives the surface for coral to recruit and grow.
And so you want to know, you know, what the situation is with urchins on the various islands?
We have monitoring data from the Division of Aquatic Resources on urchins throughout the various islands. So we have a general idea of how they're doing. But regardless of how they're doing, we want to ensure that their populations are healthy and abundant for the future. So what we're really looking for is how do people see the collecting of urchins, and what do they think would be reasonable as far as supporting a regulation that would be a more sustainable practice. So what we're not really looking for is a no take or a no collecting of something like urchins, but more so of what's the best way to manage them so that people can continue to harvest these species and continue to eat them. As we know, a lot of people rely on the oceans for their food, but how can we do it in a way that's sustainable so that they're around for a long time in the future and they're able to fulfill their role and function on the reef?
We had a situation recently with sea slugs, I think, where the authorities had to step in because people were harvesting these sea slugs because they were exporting them because they could make lots of money. But, you know, removing one species like that, you know, could have an effect on the ecosystems out there.
That's true. That was a case with sea cucumbers. And so they implemented some adaptive management to restrict the harvest of sea cucumbers during that time to try to limit their export. And here we're looking at these four key groups to try to enhance herbivores overall in the reef.
Now, with uhu, the parrotfish, I mean, that's a very popular and delicious fish to eat. So what are you looking for that species?
So at this stage, we are at the very first stage of the process. So we don't have anything specific in mind. And as far as regulations go, we're really looking to hear from the public on what types of things they would support. Now, things that typically have been done in the past to help support species like herbivores are things like bag limits, which means each fisher is limited to a certain number that can be taken at each time that they go fishing. So Again, fishing's still allowed, but it's just limited in such a way to be more sustainable. Another thing that's considered are size limits. So we do have a size limit for some species of uhu throughout the state of Hawaii, and Maui actually has a slightly different size limit, a little bit more strict limitation than Maui, and they've shown some really nice results with growth of uhu there.
Yeah, that's at the Kahikili Fisheries Management Area?
Well, at Kahikili, they're actually not allowed to fish herbivores there. They're still allowed to do fishing, but herbivores can't be fished there at all. But beyond that, so for example, the size limit for uhu throughout the state, minimum size is 12 inches, which means that the fish have to be at least 12 inches before a fisher can legally take them. But on Maui, for example, it's set at 10 inches. And then they have some additional rules for specific species.
Well, what about the surgeon fish?
So at Kahikili, they're not allowed to take surgeon. Surgeon fish cannot be fished either. And then there are a few species that have specific rules, including kala and manini statewide.
Okay, but the idea then, if there are these herbivores that are in this no-take area, you know, there is that spillover, right? So there may be more fish outside that area.
Absolutely right. So at Kahikili, they've had really large increases in their parrotfish biomass and in their surgeonfish biomass. So it actually, since 2016, when the Kahikili Fishery Management Area was instated, parrotfish biomass increased by 331% and surgeonfish biomass increased by 71%. And the idea is absolutely right. When there's more fish within the area, then they're going to spread out and spill over into the adjacent areas to provide more fish outside of the boundaries. But for the statewide rules, we're looking at something very different. The Kahikili example is place-based, so there's specific rules in a very small area relative to all of Maui. But what we're looking for here are a slightly less stringent. So, for example, in Kahikili, there's no fishing for herbivores, including urchins, chubs, surgeonfish and uhu within that area. But for statewide rules, because it would be applicable to all nearshore waters, we're looking at rules that aren't quite so strict that still allow fishing. And so the input we're really hoping to gather are what type of tools DAR uses within our toolbox of regulations would be have the most support and compliance while still protecting those groups of species.
Okay, so you're casting a wide net and trying to get that input from the fisher people.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Anything else that you think would be important to underscore? I mean, this is really the start, right, of your process.
I think that's the most important thing to underscore. So this is the first step. We want input early. We want to gather as much feedback as possible so that when we're considering what the options are for rules and regulations, we have public input. And then we'll go back to the drawing board, draft some ideas based on the input that we've heard, and we plan on going back out to communities at the end of February and early March to share our proposals, and then again scope that proposal with the public to see what people think with what we've come up with. But again, what we've come up with is not only using the best readily available science, but also the input from these initial scoping sessions.
That was Stacia Marco with DLNR's Aquatic Resources Division. Maui has just completed its meetings, but tomorrow there's a meeting on Kauai, and Oahu and Big Island will be later this week and next. We'll have links posted on our website.